The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Ish Tov, we had Rosh Chodesh over the weekend, of course, which also signaled the start of Ramadan for our Muslim friends. We're opening up slowly but surely for business. Certainly things are moving ahead. But what I wanted to say was I really love these quotes that Dr. Myberg brings out. Maybe we should put a little collection together of these quotes. Some of them are really amusing and quite true, actually.
Yeah, incredible. Really, really incredible. All right. Talking about, well, it's actually nice to have non-COVID news, even though seems to be back to business as usual. Israel has been accused of carrying out attacks against targets in Syria last night. That's for the second time in the past week. What is going on there, Anthony?
So it's kind of business as usual, Howard. I think that's the best way to describe it. Again, you know, we see a similar pattern of events. Some sort of an incident takes place in Syria immediately. There are reports of Israeli aggression against Syrian targets. Reports from the Syrian state news agency that these attacks have taken place against Syrian targets and that the Syrian air missile defense systems have succeeded in shooting down these Israeli missiles that apparently were targeting areas around Beirut, quite close to Beirut on this occasion last night. We know very well that even though the Syrians claim that their air defense systems are very effective and that they've shot down all of the incoming missiles, the reality is that the smoke on the ground and the fires and the explosions bear testimony to the fact that the truth is a little bit different from the way that it's being reported by the Syrian news agency. But I think the common thread through all of this is that the targets that are being set upon by Israel, although we don't have any confirmation, but let's assume for the moment that Israel is involved in these attacks. The targets are usually either Iranian bases on Syrian soil, or alternatively seem to come soon after some sort of a cargo plane arrives from Iran. We don't exactly know what's on the plane, but we assume that it's some military equipment. And then within a space of a short period of time, maybe a few hours, suddenly there's this attack. Last night's attack, we understand, was carried out from Lebanese airspace, and there were reports that Israeli aircraft were flying at quite low altitudes over southern Lebanon, Lebanese airspace. And so it seems to me that it's all about Iran being very determined to try to set up a strong presence within that southern Syria area, bringing loads of equipment, bringing a lot of military hardware, arms, missiles, ammunition, whatever they're sending from Iran. The Israelis trying to do whatever they can to limit the extent to which Iran is setting up its base in southern Syria, and also limit the extent to which it is arming other militia, including Hezbollah, including some of the militia groups in southern Syria, so that, you know, Israel does not, it does not present a threat to Israel going forward. So I think that there's a very, very common thread through all of this. It's all about the Iranian connection. It's either about Iran trying to be, to set itself up, more seriously within southern Syria, or alternatively, it's about Iran trying to arm other groups, and maybe even have arms for its own people who are based in Syria. So that seems to be the crux of the story. And I could quite believe that Israel was in action overnight, even though the Israeli government will not and has not confirmed it. And of course, the IDF the same will not be confirming anything. But we do know that a number of attacks have been carried out over the past few weeks, including this target attack against a convoy that was carried out. Also, we spoke about that, I think, a week or two ago. People have been killed in some of these attacks. The last one that was carried out a few days ago, there were reports of people having been killed on the ground. So obviously that is also evidence of the fact that these so-called air defense systems are not quite as effective as the Syrians would like to present it. And I think that obviously, you know, this is a story that's going to roll and roll, because it doesn't seem like Iran is ready to give up trying to establish itself in southern Syria. And of course, Israel, for its part, will not simply just be allowing this to happen without any consequences.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Israel also continuing to loosen COVID-19 lockdown with talk of schools reopening in the next week or so. That's big progress.
This is a big moment. What we've seen over the last few days is slowly but surely a loosening of the provisions and, to be honest, a little quicker than even I had expected. For example, the latest is now that all high street shops are entitled to be open according to certain rules. That includes hairdressers, it includes beauty salons, things which are very, very difficult to police, social distancing, which is really required. So rules have been laid down about how people have to behave in those particular environments. Driving lessons have now been allowed. Sporting activity, people who want to go out. They're loosening some of those lockdown provisions for people who want to go out and do some training. Israel's Olympic athletes have been officially allowed to get back to their training. The beaches, I understand, there are going to be some loosening of provisions around the beaches that people will be able to go out surfing and swimming and windsurfing and whatever they wish to do, although not gathering on the beaches as such. So slowly but surely there is the loosening, but I think the critical moment will come when the kindergartens and the primary schools in particular are allowed to get back to business as usual. The high schools, the middle schools and the high schools are likely to follow after that, with universities, I think, probably last in line. But the significance, of course, of the schools going back is that that effectively releases parents to get back to business as usual. And I think that there is certainly a move now, slowly but surely, to get back to some sort of a business as usual type of situation, even though there is an attempt to just keep a control over things over the next 2 or 3 days while we have Yom HaZikaron. We'll talk a little bit about that, which will take place tomorrow. And then, of course, Yom HaTzmaut the day after that. And I think once Yom HaTzmaut is over, I think we're going to see a much, much greater opening up of things. The numbers, at the moment at least, support what's going on. In other words, the numbers continue to fall in terms of how many people are ill and the number of new people being diagnosed and those, you know, those important things. Less than 100 people now being intubated, which I think is a significant reduction from the more than, you know, almost 200 that we had at one point. The number of people who have died so far is 201. So we've pushed through that 200 mark now, with about 15,500 people having been diagnosed with COVID-19. The numbers are still increasing, but a much slower pace than before. I think the critical thing is going to be whether this new opening of the market somehow has some sort of an effect within the next two or three weeks, when there might be another outbreak somewhere as a result of the loosening of the regulations. So I think that the government is trying to weigh up whether it's better to wait until that period elapses and they can assess the impact of the opening up, or whether they just wish to release, to let the cord out and release people to get back to work and get back to school as quickly as possible. Some really, really sad stories about a person in particular who was someone who operated a kiosk in the Shuk in Machane Yehud in Jerusalem, committed suicide as a result of financial woes that he was experiencing. So lots and lots and lots of stories that surround COVID-19, including some domestic violence increases, people who've been suffering at home, which is also a sad story. Another sad story of an 11-year-old girl from Beitar Elite, who apparently is in very, very serious condition. So even a young person, I'm not quite sure whether there were any background illnesses to that particular young girl who's in a serious condition. And we obviously hope that she will recover from her illness with COVID-19 virus. So quite a number of different stories that surround this, including a very relatively morbid story about the fact that Jews from around the world who like to bury their loved ones in Israel after they've passed away have really been suffering with this whole virus, because first of all, a lot of people have passed away and there's been a huge demand to ship bodies to Israel for burial. And of course, the fact that the airline industry has contracted substantially, and the cost that these families are having to incur in order to hire private jets in order to bring their loved ones to Israel for burial. Apparently 151 people have bodies have been flown to Israel on commercial private jets between March and April for burial in Israel. And it's not only about the families who are trying to get their body, their family members' bodies here, but it's also about the Chevra Kaddish in Israel, the people who do the burials. Apparently, they've been burying people through the night, 2 o'clock in the morning funerals, in order to try and get rid of the backlog of people trying to bury their loved ones. So a slightly morbid story, but still something quite interesting as a result of the COVID-19 virus that we're experiencing.
Yeah, incredible. It's just an amazing thing, the impact that this is having on absolutely every aspect. There is not an area in our world that is not effective.
It's absolutely true. It's affecting absolutely everything. And of course, unfortunately, also our thoughts and our mental well-being, a lot of discussion about psychological well-being, about economic well-being. It's all fine and well to have your physical health, but you need your psychological health. And of course, you need your economic sustenance. So, those are really the dilemmas that the leaders are having to face at the moment as to how to balance out these different pulls from the various directions. Airlines have announced that they're going to be starting to fly again to Israel. British Airways in particular will be starting again on Thursday night. The first flight from London will be landing in Tel Aviv and leaving back to London on Friday. So already we see a move towards getting the airspace back to some sort of an operational measure.
So they are opening up, international airspace there.
International airspace was never closed. Uh-huh. It was all about the airlines who decided that they wished to stop their flights, rather than the airport being closed or rather than the airspace being closed. I mean, we have had a few flights that have continued to operate. For example, I think Ethiopian Airlines was one of the airlines that was mentioned that continued to fly. And I think United Airlines from the United States. And at one stage, I think Aeroflot was flying from Moscow as well, to Tel Aviv. So there was no stopping those. But of course, the people who land here all have to go into quarantine for 14 days automatically, whether they be tourists or whether they be Israelis. And of course, for the airlines, there's not that much demand, so the number of the number of flights has been substantially cut back. But overall, the airspace remained open, the airport remained open for those who wish to use it, and now we're seeing a slight uptick in the number of flights that will be coming to and from Israel. Mm.
Before I let you go, talk to us about Yom HaZikaron.
So Yom HaZikaron begins tonight. It's a very, very different Yom HaZikaron than the one that we've usually like to memorialize. This is a day when we remember fallen soldiers and victims of terror. It will begin tonight with a siren sounding at 8 o'clock. And I would like to encourage all the listeners to light their candles as well this evening at sunset, just in memorial of those who have fallen as a result of war activities, as a result of terror activities over the years in Israel. We'll talk a little bit tomorrow about the numbers and how we measure it and what the significance of all of that is. But certainly a different Yom HaZikaron, because as opposed to gathering at military cemeteries, which is the usual practice, tomorrow it won't happen. Military cemeteries are off limits, and people will have to celebrate, or not celebrate, but mark Yom HaZikaron from home. Lots and lots of online activity. That means that people who are not in Israel can also participate. Lots of YouTube channels, lots of Zoom, many, many opportunities to get a little bit involved in some of the Yom HaZikaron activities this year as a result of it all going really online. But we'll certainly talk about it more tomorrow. A siren this evening, 8 o'clock Israeli time, which means 7 o'clock in South Africa this evening. And, of course, again tomorrow, after I'll speak to you in the morning, there will be a further siren tomorrow at 11 o'clock our time. And we will think about those people who have given up their lives either in service of the State of Israel or alternatively as a result of terror activities that have taken place.
Absolutely. Thanks, Anthony. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow. We've, of course, been talking about Yom HaZikaron today ahead of this evening.